Doom Patrol, Negative Man, Elastigirl, Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited.
Your every word and action
is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Calder. Your beloved patrol is doomed.
G'day and welcome to Waiting for Doom, the podcast where we are waiting for the Doom Patrol to come back in any form, in any way. We can't wait. Anyway, I'm Paul, and you can find me on Twitter at reading_hicks.
And I'm Mike, and you can find me on Twitter at avantgarve.
So what's our topic for this week, Mike?
This week on Doomsplaining, we are going to be talking about the classic villain, Animal, Vegetable, Mineral Man. Oh, yeah!
Yeah. Wow.
I'm pretty excited about this episode. And then we've also got the Mailbag O'Doom. We're going to be looking at the responses to the question of the week, which was, what weird superpower would our listeners like to have?
Yeah, there's the real weirdos out there. Just heads up.
But before we get into that, how was your week, Paul?
It was weak. Certainly very strange. Let's just talk about comics rather than talk about the week. I've been reading some interesting stuff. I read Ant-Man number one.
Oh, yes.
Did you read Ant-Man?
Not yet.
Yeah, Ant-Man number one. It's by Nick Spencer, who a lot of you might know from Superior Foes of Spider-Man. Now, looking back at all the books I bought last year, I think Volume 1, The Trade of Superior Foes of Spider-Man, was probably my favourite trade of the year. Most fun book. Best book I enjoyed. Certainly really stood out. So certainly seeing that Nick Spencer was coming back to do Ant-Man really did intrigue me. It's got art by Ramon Rosanas, who's a name that's new to me. But as a book, it's a lot of fun. It's a great introduction. It's got a very clean art style. It's a bit reminiscent of Mike Allred. But basically, Ant-Man is a down-on-his-luck hero. He's had some unfortunate situations, and he really wants to get his life in order. And part of that is trying for a job. Now, I could... Job interview comics, that could be a new thing for me, because I really loved job interview comics in this book. The competition with other heroes to get this job working for Tony Stark. And, you know, the lines that people will cross and the lines that other people won't cross. The awkwardness, Ant-Man saying things, and then he's got this inner monologue going, shut up, and fix it, as he says the wrong thing over and just keeps talking. It's very Buffy, if you know what I mean. But it works out, and it really does set up the series. But... this is a $4.99 book. I think it's much better value to head for these things in trade these days. Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, I had an all right week. I read The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, which was a bit silly and bright and colourful, but really enjoyable. Just a fun book. She's just a superhero that is able to communicate and can, you know, deal with squirrels and, you know, is... kind of strong and can throw Kraven the Hunter around. That was interesting. So that was fun. There was also New East of West. That's always an interesting read. And this last week, sorry, was also there was a new issue of Weird Love, which is a bi-monthly reprint series that I get that reprints old romance comics from the 50s to the 70s. And I get it mainly because the way it depicts romance and life back in the 50s and 60s and whichever issues they reprint is kind of hilariously wrong in this day and age. And the concerns that the kids of the day have are completely different to these days. And it's a hoot, as kids from that day would say. And I'm sounding really dorky now. But yeah, it was a good week. This week, there's the new Star Wars comic coming out. Apparently, there's a 50 bajillion different variant covers, and it's already pre-sold something like 50 million bajillion copies. So, it must be good. I'm guessing.
How many are you buying, Mike?
One. Just the one. That'll be more than enough.
The other thing I had a crack at was I got the first trade of Batman Eternal, which is called Batman Eternal because that's how long it takes to read the first trade. there's 21 issues in that sucker, which makes it great for killing spiders or other animals.
That's pretty good.
But, I liked it. I thought the first probably 10 or 11 issues were stronger than the second 10.
Mm-hmm.
But it did build a pretty good story. One, admittedly, I'm happy to read. I don't know if it's one I would ever come back and read again.
Okay.
I don't think it's quite No Man's Land, if you know what I mean.
Right. You don't think
it's
up there yet?
I don't think you know what I mean, do you?
I may have yet to read all of No Man's Land, but, you know, we'll get there one day. So you enjoyed part of Batman Eternal then, is what you're telling me.
It's a good thing to pass through, but
right.
Not a good place to live.
Right.
But, you know, it as a weekly, I'm sure it drove people nuts. Did you find that?
Yes and no, because I am getting the weeklies. So, it's been an interesting ride, and I will agree that the first portion of that series, as I recall it, probably better than the other ones, but it's kind of kicked up a notch again now that it's in issue 30-something, I think. So,
yeah. Well, I read the whole book over like 3 days, and there were scenes in it where I knew it was kind of meant to be simultaneous or the same day, but it felt like there'd been huge leaps of time since then.
Okay.
And then I thought, imagine reading that week by week.
Yeah.
It must seem like, you know, these scenes that are meant to happen one after the other are happening, you know, months apart at that point.
Mm. Yeah. Wait a minute. What's that ticking?
I know the sound.
I think that's the doom clock. Okay, so this week on the Doom Clock, unsurprisingly, the numbers have not changed. The final issue of Doom Patrol Volume 5, number 22, shipped in July 2011, and so it's still 3 years and 5 months since their last ongoing series. And the last appearance of the team was in Justice League 33 from last October, so it's only been about 2 months since their last appearance. However, on this week, back in 2008, DC released the Planet Love trade paperback collection, which wraps up Grant Morrison's run on Volume 2 of the Doom Patrol. And some of the highlights from that is Danny the Street meeting his cosmic destiny, so to speak, and the team taking on the Candlemaker, who to this day is one of my most feared villain monstrosity things ever.
Would you say he's their scariest villain?
Probably the scariest one. And that's it for the Doom Clock this week.
Okay, on to our feature topic this week, which is about the amazing, incredible, strange, bizarre Animal Vegetable Mineral Man.
Yeah, we were first introduced to Animal Vegetable Mineral Man in issue number 89 of the first volume of Doom Patrol, back in August of 1964, where we, the reader, meet Sven Larsson, who was a former student of the chief, Niles Calder, at Stockholm University. And it turned out that Sven believed the chief had stolen an invention of his, of Sven, but it turns out the chief actually created it. And so Sven had come to meet up with the team and get his revenge by killing the team. Massive spoiler warnings as well. For
I love how he appears and said, "Hey, remember how I thought you ripped me off? And but there's no hard feelings. It's all cool." And then pretty soon it's like, "Ha, it's not cool. I hate you."
That was pretty much it. Yeah. So Sven has made arrangements to do a big demonstration of his new invention. And oh no, he accidentally falls into this giant tub of amino acids. And then he turns into a gigantic paramecium and begins to start causing havoc.
Ever since I read that, and this has been a few years now, I just roll that word paramecium around in my mind. It's just a fantastic word.
Yes.
Paramecium.
Paramecium. Everybody.
It's incredible. But what's a paramecium?
Isn't it like a giant fungus thing?
It's a giant, simple cellular structure organism, I think. It's
That was going to be my next question. I'm going to edit this video. Yes, so he turns into that, and then he starts churning into all sorts of weird and wonderful things. He turns into being a pure sulfur, and then a giant creeping ivy, and then a giant bird, and basically it's a massive chase.
Giant spider.
Oh, yes, the giant spider. Yeah, he's also turned into a giant dandelion, a swarm of gnats, and then a bat as well, because, you know, why not a bat? Yeah.
Well, I'm always amazed that he can turn into a swarm of other creatures, like lots of little creatures. He has a tremendous amount of control over what he turns into and how he maintains control of himself while he's doing those
yes.
things. It's just incredible.
Yes. So, and then they discover that, yeah, he's actually done this before and it wasn't an accident at all that caused his bizarre mutation. So that's when they realize, oh no, it's a giant trap. Aye. So we then see Sven return, not for another 9 months, in May of 1965, in issue 95.
That was a good year. Do you remember that year?
No, I don't. That was 10 years before I was born.
I got accused of being 75 years old because I didn't remember DuckTales. So, but I do want to assure people this is before my birth too.
Right. Good to know.
Thanks, Aaron.
Look, they tease because they care. So
they must care a lot.
They care quite a lot, yes. So in this issue, in issue 95, the chief declares he's got a way to possibly cure Rita, but it's going to involve kind of swapping powers temporarily with Negative Man. And of course, it all goes wrong. And Cliff
Rita's
ruins the experiment.
Rita's a girl who grows giant size.
Yes. Yes. So, of course, Cliff, a robot man, he has a tantrum, kind of spoils the experiment, and they end up switching powers. So Rita actually becomes the first kind of negative woman, while Larry Trainer becomes able to expand and shrink, just like Elastigirl.
This switching powers, do you think that's where they got the idea for the Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer movie?
Which I have yet to see, unfortunately. I'll say sure.
I'm sure they never did that in the Fantastic Four comic.
No.
You have so much more cred than me because I've seen Rise of the Silver Surfer about 3 times.
Well, so then the team, with their topsy-turvy powers, decide to go and help destroy a gigantic destructive ivy, which is ruining some building. And they discover it's Animal, Vegetable, Mineral Man. Surprise! Somehow he's broken out of his solitary confinement that he was put in 9 months ago and is on the rampage again.
Looking for revenge.
Well, it's not really explained.
He's not very articulate in this one.
No, not at all. Although, once again, the chief uses the device that Ben accused him of stealing last time, which is now called the Paralyzer Ray. And that once again, they pull the same trick that stopped him in that they freeze him just after he changes into a different form, so he can't shapeshift once again. This time, he's changed and frozen as a bear, because with all that power, you would become a bear. Why not?
Yeah. And the Paralyzer Ray is actually available in cans in pubs around Australia. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Called beer.
Right. Yes, so I don't know about you, but I was quite surprised to find that they were the only two original issues that AVM Man appeared in.
Yeah, and I was actually surprised that he does a lot of turning into one thing and then turning into another thing, giving everybody time to say, oh, look, he's turning into this now, and they name it, and then suddenly there's a nice drawing of it.
Yeah.
So there. Whereas on the cover of his first appearance, he's actually several things at once. He's got like half a dinosaur head. He's got a crystal chest. And
yes.
He's got a tree-type arm.
That's the thing. That's why he's called Animal, Vegetable, Mineral Man, because he has total control over his body and his appearance, and he can turn into anything he wants. So yeah.
Can I give you a little bit of a story about Animal Vegetable Mineral Man?
Mm-hmm.
My kitties, my two darling children, they have this app on one of their iPods where you basically you think of a character and the app tries to guess who the character is.
Okay.
And they were going, "Oh, Dad, it's amazing. It knows who Sonic the Hedgehog is. It knows, you know," they kept naming all these characters that they like, and "it knows who Uncle Grandpa is," which is more than I do. But they said, "Can you think of anyone?" And I thought of Animal Vegetable Mineral Man, and it asked me 80 questions, where it usually asks them about six, and it gave up.
You've stumped the machine. Well
I
done.
Stumped it. Yeah, but at the end, it asked me all these questions about the character and where he appeared and all this sort of stuff. So I assume it has added it to the database now, so it will have it in the future.
See, you're sharing the Doom Patrol knowledge everywhere you can. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, continuing on. We didn't see AVM Man again until December of 1988, 23 years later, in Volume 2. Which was during Paul Kupperberg's run, in which we see Sven Larsson getting busted out of jail by a bunch of old men, who we soon learn are working for General Immortus, who's up to some schemes.
Yeah, I love the old men busting out. They've all got jetpacks and laser guns, and they're all happy to die after completing any sort of task.
Yes, that was... I was like, what the hell? So this version of the team is led by Arani, who goes by the codename of Celsius because she has control over ice and flame. And there's kind of a subplot about whether or not Niles Calder is actually alive. And so they're sort of searching for him. And the other subplot going on is General Immortus is sort of getting a gang together. One of the members obviously being... Animal Vegetable Mineral Man, who then appears in the very next issue, number 16. The publishing date's not entirely clear. It was either December 88 or January 89. But yes, he's out of jail. Once again, he's on the rampage, and he's just changing form, destroying lots of stuff, and he still wants revenge as he still believes the Chief stole his invention all those years ago. Well, all those years in real-world time, it was probably... couple of months in comic book time.
Yeah, but he's doing combos in this, isn't he? He's, you know, changing parts of his body into tentacles and other parts into diamonds and metal and webs. And
I think bees. He had the shape shifting down pat by this time.
Yeah, and he's much more articulate in this. He's talking about what he's doing and why he's doing it, and he really is all about the revenge.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. He gets angry. He turns up, starts destroying cities, and changing form as much as he can. But yeah, that was a good appearance by him. The next one...
That was the first time I ever read the character, and because I bought those off the stand back in those days, because I'd actually been born by then.
I would have been in early high school around that time.
Yeah, I'd left. Whatever. I was a man making my way in the world.
Right. Buying all those comics you weren't allowed to have in your youth.
Like a man does.
Yes, like a man does. The next appearance of our villain was in Volume 3 in the Arcudi run. He turned up in issue number 20 from July of 2003. And I've got to say, this is probably one of the oddest appearances of him yet.
Yeah, it's sort of not really an appearance because... The points of view in this story are pretty much about the writers of the Doom Patrol TV show coming up with an episode, and they keep incorporating Animal Vegetable Mineral Man into the show, and they have an expert on staff who actually has read, you know, the adventures of the original Doom Patrol and saying, "This isn't correct, this isn't canon, you're using the characters wrong."
Yes.
So it has three separate stories told, you know, as the scripts are being developed. But I dug this one. It was very cool.
Yeah. For those who may not have read this volume of Doom Patrol, it was a big theme of it was that a businessman, Thayer Jost, had decided to try and, I guess, commercialize the team and make them his property and try and earn a buck off the Doom Patrol, which is why...
It's a bit meta, because it's kind of like, how do we exploit the Doom Patrol in this day and age is the theme of the book. And it comes after, you know, Grant Morrison's very successful run, and, you know, the consideration is, you know, how do you attack the team now and get it out into the public? And so that became, you know, we've got this name, the Doom Patrol, how do we make it work? And that was, you know, became part of the plot.
Yeah, so it was, as you said, it was very meta.
Yeah, it was an outside-the-box approach to presenting the team. So you only really had Cliff Steele or Robot Man as the, you know, the common thread. And even there's a bit of a swerve there that we'll go into when we cover this run properly.
Yeah, it was...
But it did introduce some very interesting characters who I think worked quite well as a fresh new team. And certainly I like that team much better than the Cooperberg run from the 80s.
Okay. Yes, Animal, Vegetable, Mineral Man's first appearance on the second page of this issue appears to have the legs of a gorilla, arms made of rock, and his head is a giant rose. So, you know, once again, showing quite a bit of variety there.
Artists must have really loved doing this character, because it really would have been a chance to cut loose.
Okay.
Or it's a nightmare where you get told, you know, draw a giant spider, or, you know... wanting to be drawing things that you knew how to draw, I'm sure.
We then skip a volume because AVM did not appear at all in the John Byrne run, which was volume 4 of the Doom Patrol.
But right, the readers didn't appear either for that one.
Burn on Burn. Nicely done, Paul. Nicely done. He then does make quite a successful reappearance in Volume 5 in the Giffen Clark run, starting in March of 2010. He actually appeared in 10 issues, which is his longest appearance in any volume at all.
Yeah.
And the basic thing here was that, once again, Thayer Jost has returned, but he's setting up his own company called MSE, and he's forming his own group of superpowered protectors called the Frontmen, who he's basically... trying to get them to discredit the Doom Patrol publicly for other nefarious purposes, which I won't spoil in this point in time. But yeah. He seemed to get more verbal with each volume that he appeared in. That gave him more
he's a
time.
Lackey in this, but he's an articulate, intelligent lackey, because he does have some good appearances and good things to say in this book. And there's... I think one of the best fights he has with the Doom Patrol is when he goes to the bathroom and the Doom Patrol have just teleported in there to spy on MSE.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I believe they were actually looking for Rita, who had been kidnapped. And Ambush Bug was teleporting Negative Man and Robot Man basically all around the world in seconds flat. And they appear in a men's room, of all places. And just by sheer coincidence, that's the same men's room that Sven Larson decides to walk in. You just see the closed door and the word balloons, uh-oh, crap, and then the fight's on. It's hilarious. He first turns up in this run as a bit of a itinerant. He's trying to have a quiet meal at a diner, and for some reason the cops turn up and start harassing him. And he basically says, you know, you couldn't just leave me alone, you know, almost says, you won't like me when I'm angry. And he turns into, you know, the giant half dinosaur, crystal chest type thing, starts causing havoc. And that's when the limousine turns up to take him to meet with the businessman, Thayer Jost, who, you know, offers him the position on the Frontmen team. And that's when the shenanigans start there.
Do you think that AVM Man has reached his potential as far as, you know, his... powers are extraordinary, and certainly I don't think we've seen them exploited to the full in any of his appearances yet. I mean, if he was in a serious comic, he would be a major threat just because of his ability to turn into anything.
Yeah, that's the thing. He has such a terrific power. But, yeah, it's mainly used to cause destruction and have massive fight scenes with, and he doesn't have a lot of motivation in most of his scenes. It's just kind of, okay, yeah, I'll join you bad guys, or you stole my invention. I'm still angry about it. Rawr. You know?
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite versions of him is in the Batman Brave and the Bold cartoon, where he appears and he turns one of his arms into a shark.
Yeah.
Which is just fantastic. But that would be terrifying in real life.
Oh, God, yeah.
And he's always at least twice as big as most people when he's, you know, transforming, isn't he?
Mm, yeah. He goes into giant mode, so.
So has AVM Man ever made it into the New 52, Mike?
Yes, he has. Back in June of 2013, he appeared in issue 11 of the Ravagers series, which I think was the second last issue of that series. And the Ravagers was kind of like Teen Titans, but badass. And they'd been through lots of hardship, and they were gritty and really angry and stuff, man.
Titans with attitude.
And that's when they also first introduced Niles Calder, giving them like a safe house to avoid the people that were chasing them. Anyway, bad guys came hunting the Ravagers, and Niles wakes up and he activates his security protocol, which happens to be Animal Vegetable Mineral Man. And sure enough, he turns up in giant half-dinosaur mode, starts destroying the place. I don't know if he's a very good security protocol at all. I mean, he kind of stops the bad guys, but not really. So, and it was implied that that AVM was actually created by Niles Calder, the chief, in this instance. Which I found really bizarre. It seemed just like they needed a way to cause as much destruction as possible. And then, hey, let's throw AVM Man in there. Why not? That's what he does.
Yeah, it's a comic. They need to draw, you know, action and fight scenes.
I guess. But outside of those appearances, he's only had a few other very small one-panel appearances. For example, in Teen Titans issue 32 from about 2005. He appeared in a flashback when Superboy Prime did that, I believe it's referred to as the Super Punch, which merged all the multiverses back together for Infinite Crisis.
One where he broke continuity.
Yes, he broke continuity and helped reset it, of course. And there was a big double splash page in that issue of Teen Titans that showed every instance of every Doom Patrol history. And, of course, Animal, Vegetable, Mineral Man appeared in a panel there. And there was a mini-series from 2010 called DC Universe Legacies, which was a look at, kind of like a real-world look at superheroes from about World War II to present day through the eyes of a guy that was a cop. And once again, he sort of gets to the 60s and says, oh, and that's when the really weird superheroes turned up. And there's a one-panel shot of the patrol fighting Animal, Vegetable, Mineral Man there. So, yeah, he kind of turns up in odd little places, but that's pretty much the majority of his appearances there. If there's anyone out there that can find another appearance that we haven't mentioned, please let us know. We'll gladly stand corrected, I guess. Yeah,
hopefully an appearance that isn't just a panel flashback.
Yeah.
There are several others. Like there's one in the Secret Origins issue that deals with the Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
As well.
Little things like that. But
he's a quintessential Doom Patrol villain. He really, you see him and you just think Doom Patrol straight away.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's fun and he's bizarre and he's unique.
Yes. So I hope they bring him back in some form, given that he was a fairly disastrous security protocol already in the New 52. I don't know if that's going to happen, but, you know, DC might reboot again. You never know. You never know.
Yeah, I'd love to get a sweet AVM Man tattoo on me somewhere.
Wow, that would be insane. Okay, everyone write in with what body parts they want Paul to get tattooed and what body parts they want AVM to have in that tattoo. That'll be crazy.
Yeah, because that's how you want to do your tattoos, by committee.
Yeah.
Why not?
Thanks for that, Mike.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Paul. And that's pretty much it for Doomsplaining this week. Okay, now let's have a look in the mailbag O'Doom. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can reach us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Twitter at WFDpod, and the Facebook page is also Waiting for Doom. And you can find Paul and I on Twitter. I'm at AvantGarv.
And I'm at reading_Hicks, H-I-X.
Excellent.
Now, we did have a piece of mail in the mailbox this week from Aaron Long, who's a very helpful chap, because he pointed out an appearance of the Doom Patrol that we missed in the animation world last week.
Really?
And he wrote that he's 80% sure Doom Patrol was in The Lion King. It's been a couple of years, but they were there. Look in the background during the part set in Africa.
Troll.
Very helpful, Aaron Long.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And he's Juice005. He likes to be hassled about how crap Doctor Doom is, I believe.
Yeah. So go forth and do that. This week, we had a bunch of responses to our question of the week, which was, what weird superpower would you like to have if you could have one?
Yes, and our first response was from Shmoby1, which was, one weird power he would like is to switch positions with someone else in a queue, or a walk, or a race. And I would call him Queue Jumper if he was in my super team.
We also heard from Keith Callback, who is at Cub Reporter K on Twitter. He said, is make stuff explode with my mind weird? If not, I'll take Cypher from the New Mutants translating power, because that opens up job opportunities. Yeah, that's a handy one. Cypher could understand...
Head explode.
Well, yeah, I think Cypher's power to translate and understand any language is probably safer, but anyway...
We also heard from Charming Red, or Mom's Reading Comics. Now, is she Mom's Reading Comics? Or so the kids are saying, Mom's Reading Comics? Or is she a group of Mom's Reading Comics? Like, is she... I've got no idea. Anyway, she said she would like to have invisibility, the ability to sneak around, discover secrets, take people down unwittingly, since I can't physically overpower them if they see me coming. So that sounds like a nasty power.
I think that's a handy power, personally.
We would call her Invisisneak.
Right. I love how you're coming up with code names for everyone.
Disco of the podcast.
Right. We did get a tweet from Ben D, who is at Punk Rock Sellout, and all he said was, well, since you didn't read my last answer, Ben... I apologize. I don't recall your previous answer at all, but you know, I'll double check the mailbag.
Why don't we edit him out afterwards?
Yeah, sure. Okay. He'll love that.
Okay, we heard from Unlikely Nerd on Twitter, and he said the ability to control people through scathing performance reviews, like mind control, but with performance reviews. So I would call him Boss Man.
We heard from Nick in Dallas on Twitter, who is at Nick in Dallas, all one word. He said, the ability to turn into a 1 to 32 scale model of a California redwood. He can neither move, see, nor hear in this state. Either that or the ability to digest food really fast, or the ability to read the minds of sloths, or whatever the plural is for sloths. I think that's it.
Well, they're really useful superpowers.
Yep.
What are sloths thinking? I've often wondered that.
Yeah.
Unlucky Nerd had another one, and that was the ability to spout random useless information at the drop of a hat. And he suggested his own code name, Trivial Pursuit.
Nice. You didn't give Nick a code name.
Yeah. Tree Guy?
Yeah. That's like camouflage. Food,
Lost Brain?
Who else did we hear from, Paul?
We heard from legendary celebrity artist Mr. Panderson, mm-hmm. at Panderson underscore art, and he suggested prehensile arm hair. I would call him pelt.
Right.
But then he rambled on, as he often does, about his, you know, olden days in the comic biz, and he said, I also once fashioned a short length of rope from my prodigious back hair to escape Larry Stroman's private island. Long story.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said it was actually from Neil Adams Lama, which coincidentally was also called Brian Panderson.
Right.
And he also suggested that the story of him knitting Arnold Drake's sweater from his own body hair was greatly exaggerated.
You don't say.
All true.
All true, right, of course.
I'm hoping Mr. Panderson gets his autobiography written before he passes on.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be a great read. We also heard from Unlikely Nerd once again, who said another ability he would like is the ability to say the exact wrong thing at the exact wrong time, making everyone feel awkward. Codename That Guy.
Codename Young Paul. That's what I used to be like.
Oh, dear. And we also heard from Sam Marks at smarks underscore, who is a good friend and co-host of the Didn't Read It podcast. Thanks for the shout out. Paul, in honor of the fun they make of our accents, would you like to read Sam's response in your best American accent ever?
Sure would. Thank you very much. I would like the ability to taste food from across the room.
Yeehaw! That's a great superpower.
Long lips.
Right. We also heard from Grant Robinson on our Facebook page. And Grant said, given the release of Squirrel Girl and Ant-Man, he would like the power to control some weird animal, like turkeys. The book would write itself.
Gobble guy.
Maybe rethink that one.
Okay, we heard from Lapine Is Me on Twitter, and he said, did I answer this? My weird superpower would be a better memory. And one last one from Karthik Karkarella, who said, the ability to make people feel how pointless damaging their good intentions are just by staring, sort of like penance stare.
Oh dear.
And he could be Shame Master.
I like it. What about yourself, Paul? What weird superpower would you wish you had?
I've thought long and hard and way too much about this. I would like the power to, I drive a lot, and people cut me off, people, you know, go slow in the overtaking lane. People generally just piss me off all the time. And when that happens, I would love to have the ability to teleport the money out of their pockets into my car. And I would be called Road Justice.
Right.
And I would be rich if I ever drove through Sydney.
You would?
What about you, Mike?
I didn't think long and hard about this, but a superpower that I guess is kind of weird, because all superpowers are kind of weird, that I would want would be the ability to go intangible and walk through walls, so that, you know, you could just literally get out of any awkward situation you didn't want to be in. You wouldn't have to try and push past the person to get out the door. You could just sink through the floor and just get away that way. So intangibility would be it for me.
Fantastic. What would we call you?
Where'd That Guy Go, Guy? What's up? I don't know. Intangible Mike.
Intangible Mike.
Yeah. Branding, you know. I don't know. Anyway.
There goes Intangible Mike. Where did he go?
That's him. Oh, dear. Okay, well, that's it for the Mailbag O'Doom, and that's pretty much it for our show this week. We hope you enjoyed us talking about Animal Vegetable Mineral Man. Highly suggest you go out and check out his appearances. Any parting thoughts for us, Paul?
If you look inside yourself, you may already have a weird superpower. Your weird superpower may be being yourself.
That's lovely. On that note, that's our show. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next week. See ya.
Talk to you next week.